Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Is just how valuable Jesus Christ. In fact, I want to talk about a maximum Christmas. I want to talk about getting the most out of your Christmas. Because there's all too many voices shouting out there. The age old, this has been going on since Jesus stepped onto this earth in a physical body. This thing, the things that we're experiencing today, you know, they're tearing down a lot of old memorabilia from the Civil War. Have you heard that? Well, that's just following all the desire to tear down any symbol of Jesus Christ or Christianity. It's the very same thing that's the spirit that's behind wanting to teach about Islam in our high schools and in our junior high schools and even younger, I believe, but not mention Christ. To me, that's supporting a particular religion, which is why we cannot promote Christianity. And so we see these things happening to us, and I think, well, you know, in my lifetime, I've never seen this. There's always been those loudmouth atheists that shout out how bad this is. And yet when I criticize something in their lives, or like a television program or whatever, they always tell you, just change the channel. Well, my question is, if you don't like Christianity, you don't like crosses on the hill, you know, don't look. Don't look. You don't have to look. Don't make a big deal out of it. I'm not making a big deal out of you not being a believer. So what? It's your choice. And so I just got this thing in my mind and my heart right now that I'm thinking, you know, this is absolutely nothing new. It may be fairly new to us because it's gone to such an extreme in our society that they want to tear down anything, any resemblance or semblance of Christianity wants to be wiped out of our culture. Now, let me tell you the danger of that. What you are really doing is not welcoming Jesus Christ into our culture. And by not welcoming Jesus Christ into our culture, you are setting this culture in a direction that is going to bring about a lot of difficult things in our culture and in our society. And so I want to read a little scripture to you. And I don't have time to get into all the background of the scripture. I just want to read it to you because it's one that makes you aware that this prophecy was given hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus Christ appeared. Now, historically, there's very little objection to the idea that Jesus Christ is or was. That he was lived in Israel, born in Bethlehem. All these historical facts are not, even by critics of Jesus Christ, are not denied. Almost everybody acknowledges that Jesus lived at one point. Nobody rejects him outright. Some do, but they're whacks anyway, so you don't want to listen to them. But historically and so forth, there are all kinds of... In fact, there's probably more evidence to prove that Jesus existed and lived and ministered in Israel than there's evidence for George Washington living. There's that much evidence. You've got secular, non-believing historians that record his crucifixion. No agenda, just recording the facts. And you've got other historians that do the same of different aspects of the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ and the historical events that went on around that, such as, you know, hundreds of babies being killed when Jesus was born and had to flee to Egypt. Does anyone remember that part of the story? And so you have all these kind of antagonists in the sidelines, but they're absolutely the same. They're happening in our day exactly the way they happened in Jesus' day, and probably prior to that, probably even surrounding the scripture that I want to read for you. I want to read in Isaiah 9 chapter. I wanted to get into the 52nd, 53rd, and so forth of Isaiah, but it would just take way, way, way too long because there's a lot of symbolism and actual literal fulfillment that comes out of those scriptures. You just need to read them for yourself. But this one is one that's familiar. It's fairly related, obviously, to the birth of Christ. And I think it's just important to note at this point, in Isaiah the 9th chapter, 6th verse, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Have you ever said that about Jesus? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform that. Now, the historical events surrounding a lot of this was Isaiah's effort, actually God's effort through Isaiah, to present to the children of Israel, which are God's chosen people, still are God's chosen people, always will be God's chosen people. Anyway, the message to them was to be an encouraging evidence that in the future, the heavenly host, the Father, God the Father, is going to fulfill this particular scripture. So this is a prophecy nearly 500 or so years prior to Jesus' appearance, but you're beginning to get an accurate pre-description of what it's all about. And I know you've been through a lot of Christmases, you know. I've been through them. I've endured them. I've enjoyed it. It's been awesome. But I've been through a lot of Christmases. I've talked this story a lot of times. But there's some interesting issues that we really need to focus on a little bit. The context of when the scripture was given was to give encouragement to Israel who were going through dark times. Has anybody gone through dark times and felt the encouragement of the Lord if you called upon him and asked him help? And he kind of gives you a word. Does everybody know what I mean when I say that? You just feel him speaking into your spirit and you know he's going to do a particular thing in life or minister in a particular way. Well, these prophecies are similar to that. They're the kind of prophecies that they're not only going to be a statement given to the nation of Israel, but they're going to have worldwide impact. And so the advent, which he's referring to, the giving of a child, the advent of Jesus Christ, or the arrival of Jesus Christ, in another word, it is not only historical, but it is spiritual and it is eternal in its effect. And that's pretty powerful. One young kid in a manger somewhere in Bethlehem is born, and the world from that point on is different. Absolutely different. It is different in the sight of God. God views the world differently now. And you and I have the opportunity to view God differently. And our relationship can be impacted and enhanced. We can know God personally in a very deep and an intimate way. And in fact, in an ongoing, increasing, growing way. And that what's so exciting about that is that every time Christmas comes around, we're reminded. It's too bad we don't have the spirit of Christmas all the time. But we do in some respects. But a lot of ways we do. When Christmas is over, we forget. Amen? Let me ask the wise first. How many times after Christmas did your husband start complaining? Guys, how far after Christmas did she exchange your gift because you bought a lame gift for her? Anybody been there? I've been there, so I just let it happen. But the whole idea is that what we need to focus on is so important that we really maximize our relationship and our experience with Christ. When we acknowledge this, you know, it doesn't mean a great deal to God other than the fact that this was the means whereby he fulfilled the plan of salvation. Is anybody saved here this morning? Amen. Without the birth of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the advent, the arrival of Jesus Christ, there's no salvation. There's no sacrifice worthy enough to be, or pure enough, or good enough to be made so that you and I can have our sins forgiven by that sacrifice. It had to be done once and for all, and since no animal would do it, no death of an animal, no blood being sprinkled, that's why I wanted to get a little bit into 52 and 53 of Isaiah, because it talks about the sacrifices that the priest makes. And what you need to understand about Jesus Christ, not only is he the Christ child at birth, but he is destined to be a king, to be a prince, to be a leader. He's also destined to be a spiritual leader. He's going to be a teacher, a prophet, and he's going to be a priest for us. And so all of those things are shadowed in the sacrifices of the time of Isaiah. And so when Isaiah, in the midst of all those kinds of sacrifices, proclaims that there's going to come a child, and the government and everything is going to be on his shoulders, he's going to be the one who leads us righteously and justly. And he's going to rule the nations with a arm rod of steel. He's going to do it righteously. He's going to do what's right. The right punishment for their mistakes. But here's the deal. In his kingdom, it's all taken care of prior to the kingdom. Anybody there? It's been taken. Your sins have been washed away when you receive Jesus Christ. Amen? And even if you sin after that, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, whereby that priest, Jesus, in the throne room of the Father, is able to sprinkle his blood and further forgive you of your sins. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
And so, when Isaiah shares this, it is a bright light. It is a brilliant light that is not shining. A hope for a nation and a hope for the world to get guilt and sin out of your lives. And be able to live freely and justly and righteously before God. Would anyone like to get there? You follow what I'm saying? And so that's provided for us by Jesus Christ. And so I was talking with Jolene the other morning, and we were drinking coffee and watching the lights sparkle, you know, the ambiance thing. And I'm thinking, you know, think back to the Garden of Eden and now and into the future, however short that may be. And I'm thinking, why this big elaborate plan? Why this big elaborate plan? Why not just create a bunch of people that are going to serve you? Why have to go through the death? Why have to go through all of that? And I'm going to tell you frankly, and I emphasized it already for you, you have a free will. God, for some reason, way back in eternity, they talked amongst themselves, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they said, we want men, we want the people who follow us and worship us and serve us, we want our creation to serve us because they want to serve us, to love us because they want to love us. And therefore, what we want them to have is a free will. We want them to choose for themselves whom they will serve. That's pretty awesome. I don't know about you, but that makes you able to choose whether you want Reese's Peanut Butter Cup or a Pepsi. You know, all those choices are yours. And furthermore, you're able to choose, do I want to go to heaven or do I not? Do I want to continue in the lifestyle that rejects Jesus Christ, or do I want to walk in Christ and have eternity to be my future home? Amen? I'm in on that. I'm up for that. I think that's maximum living, is to be a Christian. During this time, when Isaiah is giving this hope, this promise to the children of Israel, wonderful things were in the mind of God, even though there was going to be a time when he would have to suffer and die for us. The advent of Christ brings great joy and great hope. It's announced by angels and the heavenly host. It is confirmed by shepherds who witnessed it. It is also further confirmed by Magi who came from a lot of ways away following the light to bring the necessities to Christ that he would need to survive in Egypt when all the other kids of that time were being slaughtered by the king of Israel. Hello? God planned everything. He got every detail down right, and every bit of that is prophesied. Am I making sense now? But in spite of the fact that the evidence is so real historically, and real by definite witnesses, and he had men who followed him that were definite confirmers of who Jesus Christ was, there are still those who deny him, that will not accept the idea that Jesus Christ was anything other than a man, good teacher, or whatever. So there are those who outright deny. There might be some of you here this morning that outright deny Christ. You may like the benefits of hanging out, listen to good music, listen to, you know, charismatic speakers like myself. But yet, in your heart, you don't even care a whit about Jesus Christ. You follow what I'm saying? You've been at it this so long, because you've come to church with your mom and dad all the time you were growing up. Now you're older and whatever, and you've just been in the habit of that. And yet, you don't really know Jesus Christ. You've never really given your heart to him. And part of the result of the culture we have today is because many people have been offended or hurt or whatever. And part of what I shared with you about this story, this guy this morning, is because Kevin was sharing another story. But there are those who deny him, and there are those who pretend to belong to him, pretend to know him, pretend to be a faithful Christian, and all along they're wicked in their heart. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
And so one of the great things that we want to kind of point out about Jesus Christ is that you can be a denier. He's not God, he's a blasphemer, he's just a good man, or you can minimize him and just say, oh, he's just one of the prophets, or he was a good teacher, he did good toward fellow man, or you can marginalize him, just put him on the side. He's one of many spiritual leaders. You can get to heaven many ways, and he's just one of them. You ever hear of the Baha'is? I had a great experience with the Baha'is when I was a youth pastor in Reno. We're having maybe some of you, come on, I've been here a long time, I'm getting old, my hair's starting to get gray. If I've already told you this story, tough, okay? There may be one person that don't honor and give it to. But anyway, the Baha'i faith is the faith that believes all religions are just different roads to get to the same place. And we know what the Bible says about Jesus. He is the only way to heaven, the only truth, the only life is through Jesus Christ. And so that's why we serve him, that's why we love him, that's why we celebrate his birth and all these things. But they come to our youth revival, a bunch of them in a, you guys ever remember Volkswagen buses? Okay, he brought a whole group, and that's probably about maybe 10 or so kids that he brought to our revival. The Baha'is were there, the Mormons were there, even the Baptists came, believe it or not. And several other groups came while we held this week-long revival there. We called them revival in those days, or conferences now or whatever. I don't care what they call them. At any rate, by the time it was over, the Holy Spirit came down, and all of the kids that he brought accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he got so mad, he jumped in his Volkswagen bus and drove off and left all of them with him. And so we had to drive them all home, you know. But they'd all received Christ, and it was a wonderful, I mean, it was a great and awesome thing. Not that I had anything against the Baha'is at all, I just think they're wrong. But there's a pretty good testament there when all of your group accepts Christ, and you have to run off and leave them. I thought, oh my gosh, that's wild. But at any rate, there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, and he proves it by coming into individual lives and transforming them, and that's the awesome thing about it. But you can deny him, marginalize him, it doesn't make any difference, because that does not negate the fact that he is. He is, and he is who he says he is. And when you just generally recognize him to be a living entity, that's not sufficient. And so the whole story, being prophesied for years after years after years prior to his appearance, is evidence that there is something very special about the event that is going to take place when he comes into the world. First of all, Jesus Christ came into the world like no other human being has come into the world. He was born of a virgin. Only God does things like that. Only God can do things like that. Now, I know I've heard wackos claim to have, you know, Immaculate Conception, but I want you to know, unless it was Mary and Jesus Christ, there's no other Immaculate Conception, folks. There's only one person that's ever been born without a dad or a man involved. And one of the ways you can know that that's true is the shame and reproach that she would have borne and probably become an outcast to society like they used to be in our society, in our culture. She was willing to live through all that. And what did she do? Glorify God in the whole process. I want you to know that there's so much fabulous information in just the birth of Jesus Christ to confirm what he says he is and what he says he'll do and what he has accomplished in your life and my life. Knowing the historical facts is sufficient. But here's the question I'm having. Why do we have to go through all this? Why did man have to die? Because of his sin and all of that. Why not just bypass all of that? And the reason was is because he wanted you to be yourself. He wanted you to be who you are. So that who you are with the free will can choose whether you want Jesus Christ or not. And here's the thing. Those who want crosses to come down off the hill, those of them that want to pull crosses off of military memorials, those of them who want to reject Jesus Christ and not want anything to do with Christianity whatsoever, it really doesn't matter. It does not matter. And I'll tell you why. It will not affect your salvation. It will not affect your growth in Christ. It will not affect his desire to bless you. It will not affect the fact that he wants to make himself known to you and reveal himself to you, pass spiritual gifts into your life, and to provide for you and benefit you and bless you. It will not have a thing to do with that. As long as you're faithful to Jesus Christ, God will continue to be faithful to you. Hello? So it doesn't matter what anybody else believes. It doesn't matter who rejects him, who denies him, who marginalizes Jesus Christ. It may make a big hoopla with a lot of religious people, but it absolutely means nothing. The only thing that means anything is for you to have a maximum relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think it starts here. Some of our first introduction to who Jesus Christ is when we celebrate Christmas. And I think it's so important, not just because we get to exchange gifts and have family and dinners, although that's part of maximizing your Christian and your Christmas experience. I think the most important thing is that we're introduced to the reality of who Jesus is. And that God came into the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, fully God, fully man. You've heard that 1,000 times. But what really does it mean today? This day, well, next Friday when we start ripping the paper up. But what does it really mean to you? And that experience that I shared with you made me stop for a second and realize, if Jesus was just a title in my life, I'm a minister of the church, it would mean one thing. It would mean nothing, but it would mean something different. But by the fact that it impacted me in searching who and what I'm thinking about Christ, and how I want to relate to Him, and how much that affects me, and what it's really boiling down to is telling me, how valuable is Christ in my life? Is He valuable in my life? Or is it just something I do to appease this idea of God? And this idea that He wants us to live right, and if we sin, we get punished. Is that all the reason I come to church? Is to appease God? But there's people that come to this church. I don't know why they come. There's people that come to this church. You don't know them. You might know them. I'm not going to point them out. But I'm going to tell you what. There are people that are not here this morning. And they come just for that moment of appeasement. I know God. I've known Him in the past. Or whatever the situation is, church, I don't know. But they come to church and they leave this church and then they come back 3 weeks later or 1 week later and I don't even know why they come. If you're not coming to experience Jesus Christ, to know Him and by faith experience things in Him every Sunday, you're coming for the wrong reasons. I know that we've got gifts out there and we've demonstrated what I think is the most important attitudes toward Christ and Christmas. If you're coming for no other reason or any other reason, don't come. Don't go to church. You're just wasting your time. It'd be far better for you to just stay home and watch Oprah. It'd be a lot better for you. At least you'd feel good, The church is far more serious than that. And the advent of Jesus Christ is so serious that if we don't understand that God did a miraculous act to bring Him forth, to provide a means for salvation and forgiveness of our sins, we've missed the boat. We've missed the whole thing. And so when you're challenged, your faith is challenged, or your relationship to Christ is challenged, it won't mean nothing. You don't care. But if Christ means that, if He's valuable in your life, that's why Christmas, I think, is so important. It's not the gifts we give. It's the fact that we have that sentiment in our heart that we want to do good toward one another. That comes straight from Jesus Christ. But if you don't know Him, don't care to know Him, don't bother. Don't bother. You're not going to appease God by your few moments of dutiful worship or whatever. Am I making sense? And so, over in Luke, some scriptures I want to share with you in the Gospel of Luke in the 2nd chapter. Does anybody know where that's at? And this is what those of you that have ever been here very much know this. This is the portions of scripture that we read on Christmas morning. morning. And it's in the 2nd chapter. And it's what the story is. She's nearly to give birth. And they have to go pay a tax. And they go to their home city because they're both in the lineage of David. And they go there to pay their taxes. And she comes due at that time. No room in the inn. Great cantatas that are put together about this whole story, and wonderful ones, and one of the best actors I ever knew in a cantata about the birth of Christ at Christian Life Center was myself, humbly, as I share with you. I was one of the shepherd guys on my only acting career, but I was famous. But the 2nd chapter reads down to talking about all the events that took place at the birth of Christ, the glory of God, the shepherds, and all that kind of thing. And it comes down to that child. Verse 16 says, and they came with haste, found as the shepherds and all those who witnessed the Magi a little bit later, whatever. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, the son that is given, lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, they told everybody, saying, which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. What were they doing? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days, of course, were accomplished, they followed the law and presented Jesus Christ in the temple. And so, the actual events begins the relationship with Jesus Christ and his creation. Prior to that, he appears periodically in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, and he does wondrous things with the children of Israel, all of which are leading to that child which will be born, that most important child that would be born, who is Jesus Christ. First introduction to God. Just think about how brilliant you are and how much knowledge you are about the Old Testament. Think about it for a second. There's nowhere in the Old Testament that has as much impact and meaning that the birth of Jesus Christ would contain. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to that child that would come, the advent of the Savior, looking forward to the day in which God came down in the flesh and made a way for everyone who has sinned, which is everybody, to have their sins forgiven. Now, in the Old Testament times, in the Old Testament, you'll find everything pointing to that time when the great light will shine, Jesus will appear, and we will celebrate that event next Friday. But one of the interesting things is, in the Old Testament, I've been reading Leviticus, and I'm going to just regurgitate some things to you, but they would offer the cow or bull or sheep or whatever, turtle doves if you weren't wealthy enough to have a sheep. You know, that would be bad, wouldn't that? Think about it. Oh man, all I've got is enough money to do turtle doves. I can't do like the big guys do and have a bullock or a lamb or whatever. There would be a strata right there in the religious process, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. These are better because they got more money and they can do these things, and we're just lowly, so all we can get is turtle. That by itself gives a strata of importance of people. And that's not what God wanted. What God originally wanted was for all of us to have the same status with God and relationship with the Lord, and Jesus Christ provides that. But what they would do is out at the beginning, the entrance of the tabernacle, they would slay the bullock. And they would take part of his blood and they would pour it on the altar. And they would take the blood and they would sprinkle it on different parts of the altar. And every bit of that ceremony symbolized what Jesus Christ would be and what his ministry would be. And so, if this would have never happened, we would be still sprinkling blood all over the church. And so what Jesus Christ at his advent fulfills the promise of Isaiah and many of the other prophets that promise that there's going to come a Messiah. There's going to come like an Elijah. There's going to be a great prophet that is going to come prior to Christ. All of these things took place. Every bit of it to prove to those who were looking that if their faith was in what they were seeing, that it would have great effect in their lives. And so, when Jesus appeared in the Advent, nobody knew who he was. Nobody recognized his potential or what he was going to accomplish. Nobody recognized that. Just a kid down in the manger. No room in the inn. Last person in town. Now she has a baby. Oh my gosh, she's having a baby. What do I do? There's a song out now. Is it Sawyer Brown? Is it Sawyer Brown has that song out this year? It wasn't his son. Sings about Joseph. And that day, am I the only one who's heard this song? Does anybody know who Sawyer Brown is? Raise your hand. Who Sawyer Brown? Actually, very good musician and so forth. But he's got a song out. He's singing about Jesus and all the things they went through. But it wasn't his son. That's the whole gist of the song. It was God's son. If you haven't heard that song, you need to listen to it. None of you are listening to Cherry, are you? No, I'm the only one in the church listening to Christmas. Oh, you are too. You've probably heard this song. But it's Sawyer Brown who sings it, I believe. And it's the truth. Another song that they sang, and it might be Sawyer Brown too, but I don't remember. So the bad thing about Christmas channels, they don't tell you who's singing and what's coming up next. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, we're going to put it in, you know, who the singer is. But the other song that was that's similar to this is, what more can he do? What more could God do? He sent his son, paid the price, your sins and mine, paid the price, sprinkled the blood. Back in the heavenlies, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ dwells. And it is sprinkled every time you sin and have to repent, ask God to forgive you of your sins. And he becomes, I think he's sprinkling his blood. Because that was the whole idea, this blood, and wherever it touches, it purifies, it sanctifies, it makes clean, it makes new, it redeems. And along with that, healings and other wonderful things that come with that. Maybe I'm rambling here today, but I'm seeing a parallel here that we really don't have the advantage of. You and I are kind of sheltered a bit here. What I ought to do is have a Jewish rabbi come some Sunday, if he would, and just right out in the front of the church, sacrifice a bullock. You know what I mean? Just let the blood spill, get the cup of blood, come in here and just pour the blood all over the altar. Can you imagine after years what this altar would look like? Hello? Somebody had to pay a price for somebody's sin. Somebody else or something else had to pay the price for my sins. I cannot redeem myself. I cannot do what the Advent, the Savior, is going to do for me. What the birth of Jesus Christ secured for me. He came. He finally came. 500 years or more past the prophecies of Isaiah. I can't wait a week when my wife promises me, hey, we're going to have full dinners. How can I wait 500 years for the Advent of the Savior? And that's why when he came, nobody knew him. And my question is, has there been something around Christmas, or maybe even leading up to Christmas this year, is there something that has actually impacted you and made you stop and think about how valuable, I know I give you my story, but how valuable Christ really is to you? You see, I know we all get hung up on, and it's so busy in our jobs and in providing for our families and all those things that we have to do. That's our responsibility. We need to do that. God expects us to do that. A lot of things to distract. A lot of things to cause us to get off track in a lot of ways. Why does it have to be something weird to cause you to stop to think, gosh, Jesus means more to me than that. I can't let this stand. I've got to deal with this, and I am going to do that. I'm going to go to this guy and talk to him and find out who in the world he was talking to. It doesn't mean anything to you. It just serves as an illustration. Has anything impacted you this week or the last month that made you stop for a second and say, hey, Jesus really does mean something to me. He really is important. He's valuable. He has worth. One of the great things that every need that I have, Jesus had, and yet in his life and his ministry, he demonstrates that there's worth in him, that he's valuable, rejected by his own people, worked miracle after miracle after miracle. How ungrateful can a people be to receive a promise 500 years ago, and when it finally arrives, they reject it? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a different person in how I think. I know I am. I know I am because I've talked to you and you all look at me like I'm crazy. So I know my thinking process is off a little here somewhere. But I'm always thinking, Jesus did so much for me. The least I can do is live in such a way that will bring honor to him. So then my recognition of Christ on Christmas and celebration, even though I'm the beneficiary of a lot of things on that day, really isn't, I hope, an illustration of just how valuable Christ is to me. So when I go into Christmas, I get excited, oh yeah, all the family stuff and all that's important. But as for me and my family, we never open a gift before we've read the Christmas story and invited Jesus Christ into the room to watch us rip the paper off all those packages. Right. You follow? We try to put him first because it's really a celebration of his birth and his advent for us. And the least I can do is defend his reputation wherever I can, and that doesn't make me some superhero because I know I don't know what to expect when I go, but I'm so thankful that that happened to me. I'm so thankful that that, I'd never use you in a job. Okay, I got you. But when he says, and he's supposed to be a preacher, that disturbs me. But it also makes me realize how precious Jesus Christ is to me, because I'm willing to go face the humiliation talking to this guy.
Amen.
To save his reputation. Because I know for a fact I'd have never met the guy. And he's down there talking, looking right at me and telling me this whole thing. So you know he's never met me. And so after I punch his lights out, I'm going to tell him. Now that would really ruin Jesus' reputation, wouldn't it? But it made me think, I'm going through this really quick. Because you're going to get out here early, and I know you don't believe that, but it's going to happen. It's going to be a Christmas miracle. Praise the Lord. But I think the first thing that you need to realize, and what I've been pounding on here for 20, 30 minutes now, is how valuable Jesus Christ is. Take a moment, if you want to maximize your Christmas, take a moment and do some personal celebrating what Christ has done for me. Now I'm going to tell you something. Some of you here this morning, life may be going on just like a fairy tale. But some of you here this morning, I know for a fact, and you know for a fact, that Jesus Christ has done great things in your life this year.
Yes.
He has done marvelous things. He's made himself known to you. He's let you know that what's happening in your life is a result of his work in your life. He's the one that has reached into your heart that was all broken and shattered and torn. And he mended it, and he replaced that anguish and that anger and that hurt with his love and his blessing. I know that. I know that many of you have been delivered from things, and they've been set free from lots of things. And on that basis, you have a great deal of appreciation. So one of the first things I think and suggest is you take a moment. Don't even tell anybody you're doing it. Do it on the way home now, like, because you can drive without talking. And just take a moment and thank God in your own heart. Celebrate birthday. You celebrated birthdays before, haven't you? Yeah. Do a little celebrating in your heart and let Jesus know how important his birth and his advent was. And his arrival is so special because he's your Savior. And then welcome the impact of that hitting your life, because one of the great things Jesus wants to do is when you acknowledge and worship and praise and celebrate, he responds to that and impacts your life. And does marvelous things continually in your life, even though sometimes you don't even know that it's him doing it. One of the other things you need to do, I'm so proud of this church. Not only for the quilts, remember last week the quilts? Remember all the shoe boxes? Remember all the gifts that you've taken a name out here and under the tree, you placed gifts? That's what you need to do at Christmas, give. Give things to people who are less fortunate. Give things to people just because you like them. Just celebrate Christ by giving gifts to other people. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And then I think you should build a family tradition. Most of you already have this. This is an old hat for you. But some of you newer families need to build family traditions around Christmas. One of them, of course, the first one would be what? Opening your presents on Christmas morning. I mean, it's that easy. This quiz is not that tough. But set up your own family traditions. And I don't really care what you're tradition is in that respect, but I like to jab at it a little bit around Christmas time. Next thing I think you should do, you should try to select someone, some person, some unfortunate person. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term or a comparison term. It's just where they are in life, and they need a little help. Share with them. You share your joy, share your experience, share your money, share whatever. And use every opportunity to herald the message of his birth, what it means, why Christmas is really about Jesus and not the commercialization that we've seen. And the bigger present next year, and the bigger present next year, and the bigger present next year, that's not what it means. So every time you buy something at Target, we don't go to Target anymore because they don't do things good for Christmas. But anyway, wherever you go, make sure you say Merry Christmas. Hello, is anybody, you do that? I mean, that sounds so stupid simple, don't you? I think it maximizes your Christmas experience. And I'm up for maximizing. I'm a 10 to 2 man kind of guy. If this is good, then this is better. That's what I like to do. And so I try to go out of my way to embarrass people. I mean, I go out of my way to use every opportunity to herald the name of Christ. Then I think you ought to have a big fat family dinner with your friends and family. Make that a part of your great tradition. And I think you should do as the shepherds do. And I'm closing with this. I think we should be like the shepherds. When we walk away from church today, you can say whatever you want to say about me. But the minimum thing you need to do to get a maximum Christmas is when you leave these doors this morning, you go as the shepherds went, glorifying God and giving praise unto Him for all the things that you've heard about Jesus Christ and know about what He means to your life. I think that's maximizing your Christmas birth. And you can invent more. The more the better. Like I say, I'm tempted to old man. If I get a set of sockets for Christmas or a wrench for Christmas, and it's the Super Duper 50 piece set, you know, from Craftsman or something like that. Hey man, that's meeting my level of expectation. I want to see whatever it is to be the maximum it can possibly be, even if it melts the credit card. Yeah. So, you know, I got big expectations on Christmas. You know what'll happen to me? I'll get underwear and slippers. No hard. I keep dreaming about hard. Anyway. Okay, I don't want to make too much light there, but because I know it's an important moment. But I want you to do something spiritual this Christmas. And focus on your family. And somewhere along the line on Christmas, pause and celebrate Jesus Christ. Because after all, it's His birthday. Amen? Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. What's the title of the song? Oh man, it just slipped from me again. Oh, long lay the world in sin and error pining. What's that song?
Oh,
that's the song that Mel sang last night. And I don't know who she is. That's a horrible shame. They shouldn't announce who the singer is, because she sang it, and man, she sang it so awesome. And she had a full orchestra behind her. Oh my goodness. I know you guys don't know anything about Black Sabbath or something like that. I don't know if Black Sabbath has put out a Christmas album yet, but anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. And I have to confess, I've been doing really weird things with the radio recently. I've actually gone to NPR and I've been listening to classical music. You know how beautiful that is? I like the stuff with the beat. I like all that. But man, that's some stuff. That's some real stuff to listen to classical music, because, I don't know. I'm getting weird in my old age. I'm even thinking about going to some kind of symphony or something. You know, something's happening to me. I'm trying to invest in myself. It's just a personal thing. But this gal, I wish I could know she would. I just highly recommend you hear this song. I actually brought a song here one time. What's it, Michael? What's his name? Is it Michael something?
Michael.
Anyway, this guy can sing. He was on Gaither's program. Man, he sang a Christmas song. Oh, God. I actually brought it here last year, year before, and had Jeremy play it for us. It was that awesome. I wish I knew this lady's song. Of course, if none of you ever listen to classical music, you might not like her, but man, can she sing it. I want you to do something this year different than you've done any other year. I want you to have tradition, because you need that. But I want you to step outside your skin a little bit. Do something different. Now, we have, many of you have taken a name off the tag, and it'll go to the food bank people, and they'll distribute it to people in the community, and that's a wonderful thing. We like doing that. But you know what you might want to do for Christmas? Find somebody else that's not on that list, not involved in the church, and do something nice for them for Christmas. You can actually buy a fully made dinner at Safeway, I believe it is. What was it? What? $50. Huh? That's nothing for you guys. Or you can do something wonderful like go to the mission, if you have never done that, and support them in their feeding the with the folks here, amen? There's all kinds of ways for you to step out of your comfort zone and show Jesus how much you appreciate his value and worth to you. By doing what he did, he gave himself for you. And I think the least we can do to maximize our Christmas is do some kind of nice thing for someone else. Amen? So remember that this year as you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one and only true Son of God, Jesus, our Savior. Father, I've rambled on here this morning for I don't know how long, trying to get across the whole idea that there's something more important than us, even though we may feel some insult or whatever, a particular experience. It's nothing compared to what Christ did for me. And so I just want to idea, Father, that Jesus is so valuable to us, we should step aside from our own comfort and our own good feelings and do something for Jesus Christ for Christmas. Minister to someone, family member or outside the family. But let it be more than just gift exchanges and dinner. Let it be something where Christ becomes the focus. He's the center. After all, it's your birthday, so we want to celebrate that. Without your birth, there is no salvation. And so we welcome you. Again, after all these years, we welcome you and we celebrate your birth. And we bless you for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.